We are going to be taking a look at Hebrews chapter 12. And Hebrews chapter 12, it talks about endurance. And endurance is something that infants, toddlers, young people, and especially teenagers know little about. All right? Endurance comes from the root word that means under pressure. So where people would pray, God, take all my problems away, God says no, but I will give you victory as you endure through this problem. Okay? You're not going to get strength by sitting around and doing nothing. Strength is gained by getting out there and exercising. You know, my wife would refer to me as her knight in shining armor. And I said, don't call me a knight in shining armor. The only knights that have shining armors are the ones that have never seen combat. All right? I want to be that knight in the banged up, grass hanging off my visor, you know, getting knocked off my horse and what. That's the kind of knight I want to be. I've been out there in the fray. I've been out there in the middle of it. That's the kind of knight that I want to be. And so anyhow, we're going to take a little look at I believe the writer of Hebrews is Paul. Nobody claims authorship for Hebrews, but it has Paul's style of writing on it. So let me go ahead and read just two verses for you. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen? And so there's a word. It's not used here in the King James, but it is in the American Standard, where in the second verse it says that he was set before him, he endured the cross. And up in verse 1 where it says, lay aside the sin which so easily besets us, and let us run with patience the race. But in the Greek, that word that's translated patience is the same Greek word, endurance. All right? And so I just wanted to take a look at endurance today. You know, when I've had my fingers in a lot of different businesses over the years, and at one time I had a fabrication facility that God had blessed me with a position. And one of the things that I was responsible for is the certification of my welders, because we were an ASME welding shop, which meant that anything that we put out of our shop was a certified, you know, ASME certified product. And so that meant that all of my welders had to be ASME certified. And the way that we did that is that I would take two pieces of pipe and I would have them weld that piece of pipe together. And then they would, I would cut a coupon out where you have half one piece of pipe here and half here, and they're held together in the middle by that weld. And I would take it to the lab, and they would put it in this big old machine, and they would start pulling on that piece of steel. And that piece of steel could break anywhere except at the weld. All right, it could not break at the weld. If that, it was called a coupon, if that coupon were to break at the weld, then it failed. But if it broke anywhere else, it passed. So that weld was a good weld. And the reason we knew it was a good weld is because it endured the test. It endured the test. And Paul, in verse 1, likens the Christian life to a race. And so, he says, first of all, it's like racing in a big coliseum. The seats are filled with witnesses. All right? You ever see a professional football game without anybody sitting in the stands? Maybe during COVID or something like that, I don't know. But, you know, usually at sporting events, the stands are filled with people. And so those are the spectators. Those are the witnesses. And so, therefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, in other words, guess what? We do not walk this Christian life on our own. Now, I don't know how God works this out, because in one portion of the Bible it says that God wipes away every tear. Yet here, the Apostle Paul is saying that those who have gone on before us, who have run the race before us, they are witnessing our lives. And they are cheering us on. They can cheer us on because they've won their race. They know that the race is winnable as long as you, here's that magic word, endure. Okay, so they're cheering us on. Don't give up, don't give up, don't give up. Because it doesn't matter who gets there first. All that matters is that you get there. As a matter of fact, when the Bible in the New Testament talks about how Christians are rewarded for their Christian walk, the Greek word that is the judgment seat is actually the word bema, the bema seat of Christ. And the bema seat is taken, Paul takes this from the Greek Olympics. And all of the contestants of the race would then stand before the bema seat where the judges sat, and they would all receive their prize, which was a little laurel wreath. And one would be recognized for making it first, and the other one would be recognized for coming in second, but they all received that laurel wreath. You finished the race, you have won the reward. Okay? And so that's what is being talked about here, is it doesn't matter who did it the best. It doesn't matter who did it the fastest. All right? As a matter of fact, I think it's a little easier to get to heaven first. You know? All you got to do is die. All right? There's a little joke out there. Everybody wants to go to heaven. Nobody wants to do the one thing you've got to do to get there. Die. All right. And so, Paul is painting this picture for the Hebrew people, and he's showing that it's a race, and he's drawing heavily upon his Greek background, because Paul was a Roman citizen who was also raised as a Jew. And so he's talking about this race. And he's saying one of the things that you don't want to do if you're going to successfully finish the race is you don't want to be dragging along some kind of a weight behind you. And it would be kind of like if you've seen these sleds that they have for football practice, and the kids have to charge up against the sled and push the sled back, you know, and that just shows their energy and how much strength they have in their legs and all that. And the coach is standing on the sled, and he's, you know, haranguing them on and all of that. You wouldn't want to have to haul one of those around if you're trying to win a foot race. You want to get as light as possible. And so what Paul is saying here is that we want to lay aside every weight. And my question is, as we sit here this morning, what is hindering our Christian life? We're running a race. The goal is not to be there first, second, or third, but just to get there. What could possibly keep us from getting there? And what Paul is telling us is just trying to drag this world along with you is going to keep you from getting there. All right? The two are just not compatible. It's like taking a medication that is contraindicated with another medication. One is okay, the other one's okay, take them together, you die. Okay? We don't want to do that. Okay? And so, when we're running this race, if we understand the whole goal of this race is to simply cross the finish line, then why would we want to try to carry along anything in this world that would stop us? And I think of Lot's wife at Sodom and Gomorrah. And they were offered a way of escape. But her heart was not in where God wanted them to go. Her heart was back with her home and her friends and the lifestyle that they had. And so she turned around and she didn't finish the race. She didn't cross the goal line. So it says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And one thing that I have found in my life is there's no one like Satan that doesn't know what is the my button to push. That old devil has been studying me and each one of us here. He knows exactly which button to push. He knows what will distract us. He knows what will keep us out of church on Sunday morning. He knows all of these things. And so Paul says that the next thing, you don't want to bring the world along with you, but the other thing is that you must be wise enough to realize that there are some things that you are enjoying which may hinder your race. They may not be out and out sin, but the Bible says that anything that comes between us and God is an idol. Okay? And so here, you know, Paul again is saying, hey, whatever the world that you're trying to drag along, put that extra weight aside. Then the next is, Satan knows which button to push. You need to address that. You need to address that. And I've given you the illustration before when Terry and I were at the Flint Rescue Mission. That was our first assignment. And that was back in the mid-70s. And we were dealing mainly with the leftover of Vietnam and the guys coming back from Vietnam, and they were strung out on drugs and alcohol and stuff like that. It wasn't a pretty sight. And this one guy came in came into my office, and he accepted Jesus as his Savior. It was so neat. Oh, I love it, you know. And so I asked him, okay, what are you going to do now? He says, well, I'm going to go home. I said, where do you live? And he says, I live over here. I said, isn't there a bar between here and there? And he says, yes, there is. I said, what's going to happen when you go past that bar? He says, I'm probably going to go in. I said, you need to find another way home. So we prayed, and he left, and I didn't see him for several months. And I just, my heart just sank. I knew he tried to walk past that bar, and Satan knew which button to push. And he would go into that bar. And a few days later, he showed up. He was wearing his Salvation Army suit, looking really sharp. His beard was gone. His hair was cut. I said, what has happened to you? He says, I went to the Salvation Army, and they gave me a job, and they've been keeping me off the street and out of the bars, and I'm finally gaining the victory. All right? And so that's what that guy said. His button was alcohol. All right? And so what he did was he got away from that button. He stayed away that thing that tempted him so effectively. He just made a conscious decision, and he did it. All right? And so that's what Paul is talking about, and that sin which so easily besets us. What's your weakness? All right? And you say, well, hopefully nobody knows my weakness. I got news for you. Besides you and God, there's one other entity that knows your weakness. Yeah, the old devil's just sitting out there waiting to pounce on that little red button. Gotcha. All right? And so What do we do to counteract that? Stay away from it. And as I said last week, talking to some guys, one thing where you'll never ever read in the papers that Pastor Dale was found stabbed to death out behind some bar. Okay? Why? Because Pastor Dale don't go to bars. Excuse my grammar. I just don't go to bars. And so the chances of somebody mugging me and stabbing me behind a bar ain't going to happen because I don't go there. Okay? If so happens that they do find my body behind a bar, you can believe with all your heart somebody drugged me there. They heard this illustration. They said, I'm going to fix him and drag me behind the bar. But see, I don't do that. And so I don't have to worry about that temptation. All right? It's the same way with each of us. We find out what our weakness is. And I mentioned this before, that there is the vast majority of pastors of all denominations are addicted to pornography. Why? Because most pastors don't have supervision, and so nobody says, what are you doing with your time? And they can get on the internet, and they can do whatever they want to. That's why I like the idea of overseers in the church. As a matter of fact, that's how God said he wanted his church set up, so you have somebody who is overseeing everybody else. It's just accountability. And you can accomplish that different ways. In some churches, we had men's accountability teams, and they would meet together and hold each other accountable for their actions. Ladies, you can do the same thing. But nobody in the Christian walk is an island. God has put us in a church, and one of the effective mechanisms of the church is accountability. All right, and so if I were in an accountability team and I were to, you know, share what that little red button was with my guys in the accountability team, what are they going to ask me next time we met together? You know, have you been watching pornography? And I'm going to have to say, you know, yes or no. And after you go through the pain of saying yes so many times, then it just becomes easier not to do the pornography, because then you don't have to confess it to the guys in your accountability group. And it works that way with her. Now, my wife I hold myself accountable to her, and I think she can verify that I do not spend my nights scrolling through pornography sites. But that is a sin that so easily besets a lot of people. And it doesn't have to be pornography. It can be just going to Facebook. And so I go to Facebook, and it's 8:30 at night, and I say, okay, I want to go to bed at 9, and I'm just going to go to Facebook and see what my guys are sending me, because I've got, you know, Facebook friends from all over. And then the telephone rings, and it's my wife. It's 11:30. Are you coming to bed? Just shutting things down right now, dear. On my way. Okay. And so we have to recognize that these things don't have to be especially bad. They just have to consume time which is better spent than wherever. All right? So and setting aside that sin which so easily besets us. What is keeping you from away from God and what He wants you to do? It could be something totally innocent, but it's effective in keeping you away from what God would have you to do. All right, so we've done that. We've set aside whatever of the world. We've set aside that sin that, you know, Satan knows that button all about. And we run that race with endurance. We run that race with endurance. Nobody makes it out alive. You know that, don't you?
Yeah.
We all die, or Jesus comes back. But nobody makes it out of this life alive. And we need, you know, knowing that, and the next step after that, leaving this earthly plane, is showing up in the face of God, knowing that, I want to run this race effectively. Let's do it with patience, with endurance. There's going to be difficult times. Terry's going through some difficult times. Would she rather not go through those difficult times? Of course she would rather not. But if in the process of going through those times, enduring those times, if she comes out the other side and God is able to bring healing to her body, would it be worth it? Yes, it will. Okay? And so there is a price for everything that we do, everything that we receive. And so we run that race with endurance. And that means good times and bad times. That means gains. That means losses. That means any kind of testing that you can endure, because you just haven't grown up in the Lord or in life until you've been through circumstances that are difficult. When you are not an adult, then you can say, I don't feel like going to school today. Try that when you have a job you've got to punch into. All right, you might do that once or twice, but after that, you're out looking for a new job. Why? Because, you know, the word that typifies adulthood is endurance, responsibility. I've got to do it. I don't feel like going to work. How many have ever been there? Okay, don't feel like going to work. You just show up anyhow. Yes, you did. Okay? I mean, that's the difference between children and adults. And you know, it's funny how children want to be adults and adults want to be children. And I don't want the responsibilities, thank you very much. I want to go back to being a teenager. And teenagers, well, they want to be old enough so they can do this, that, and the other. But the bottom line is that because we've gone through the hardships, we've endured the hardships, that makes us better people. Now, somebody comes to us and says, man, I'm going through a rough time. I says, tell me about it. How can I pray with you? And we can go, any one of us here can go to anyone else in this congregation and say, I'm going through a hard time, and you know that you're talking to somebody who knows exactly where you're coming from. Because everybody in this room has gone through hard times. That's the definition of life. We've gone through the hard times together, all right? So we go through that. Let us with endurance run this race, because everything else aside, our life's goal is to make it to the finish line, which is the throne of God. Amen? And then how do we do that? Looking unto Jesus. You're not going to do it on your own. You're not going to do it on you. God didn't make us to be able to do it on our own. God created every individual on the face of this earth with a little empty hole right there that only Jesus can fill. And you'll go through life trying to stuff into that hole. And so we'll go bar hopping, or we go, you know, chasing after the opposite sex, or whatever it is, you try filling that emptiness in there. And it's only when you stop and accept Jesus and you put Jesus there that you have found contentment. Amen? So looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finish of our faith, what does it mean? He's already run that race. He's not up in heaven saying, oh, you gotta make it. You know, trust in me and run that race. And he's not saying it just out of wishes and grins and whatever. He's already run that race. He already knows what it's like. He knows what it's like to grow up in a world that called him a bastard. All right? And I want to say that because that's in the King James language, so I'm just quoting the Bible to you. All right? He knows that. We don't think about that, but everywhere he went, lived with that all of their life. That shame that we're talking about up here, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. He said, oh, you're trying to shame me into not doing what I'm here to do? Not going to happen. Jesus said, you can't do enough bad to me to keep me from that cross. He told the Father, Lord, if there's anything possible to keep me from tomorrow, let it happen. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. He's already endured for you and for me, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For the joy. Can you imagine that God, the Godhead, Father, Son, Spirit, they see that their creation has been totally subject to evil, has fallen. Everything that in 5 days of creation, God looked at it and said, it's good. Even the sixth day when man was, it is good. And then everything was spoiled because of sin. But when Jesus looked and says, my sacrifice will make all this right again. My sacrifice will defeat the curse. My sacrifice will open the door so that my creation now has access back to the Father. And he looked at the cross with fear and trepidation, but also with joy. He'd been looking at sin and misery for thousands of years. The Father, the Godhead, has been viewing this sin and misery for thousands of years. And now, one man, at one instant, is going to hang on that cross and give us total victory over. Amen. So we talk about living, enduring the things in our life. Jesus doesn't take that word lightly. He's already lived the worst through the worst circumstances that a person could live. He's lived through that and has brought us victory. Amen. And so our life just gives us two warnings. Be careful of the things that the world tries to put on you. It's kind of hard to run a race when you're dragging that stuff along with you. And then also that sin that so easily beset each one has a different sin. And we know about it. The Father knows about it. And unfortunately, the enemy knows about it. And he is right there to punch that button at every opportunity. All right? So those two things. If you know you have a weakness, stay away from it. Amen. That guy knew that I talked to in my office. He knew that his weakness was alcohol. He's going to find a different way home. He's not going to go past the bar because he knows what he is just on autopilot. He'll go into that bar. But he says, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to find a different way home. A lot of us need to be thinking, well, what's a different way home for me? What is my sin that so easily drags me down? And what can I do to just avoid that so that I can run this race? Father God, thank you that you have